ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف مأكول. Respected brothers and sisters, on our last topic, speaking about the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we had reached the year 569 AH, in which the father of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his grandfather, both of them got married. The father of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam getting married to his mother Amina, and his the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's grandfather Abdul Muttalib getting married to Hala, who was the cousin of Amina. So both of them, both father and son, getting married to two cousins on the same day, the marriage took place. We had reached that point, and that was the year 569 Hijri. After this year, 569 Hijri, was a very, very important year in the lives of the Arabs, because there were two great incidents which took place in that year. The year 570, two great incidents took place on that year. The very first of these was the attack on the Kaaba by Abraha and his army in order to destroy the Kaaba. And the second and the most important of these two, or the more important of these two, was the birth of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Yemen in those days was under the rule of Abyssinia. Yemen was under the rule of Abyssinia, and the vicegerent in Yemen, or the ruler in Yemen, was a person by the name of Abraha. Abraha had built a very large cathedral. Being Christian, he had built a very large cathedral, and of course, well decorated. Crosses of gold and silver were put up all over. You had pulpits that were made of ivory and ebony. You had marble that was brought in from some of the derelict and the broken down castles of the Queen of Sheba. The marble that was in those was brought in, and the whole cathedral was well decorated. Abraha was very jealous of the Arabs, because the Arabs, all of them, no matter what they believed in and whatever fighting they had, they all used to come to the Kaaba for pilgrimage. He wanted now to redirect that the people or the Arabs should not, and he wrote to his king, the Negus in Abyssinia, and he told them that I would not rest until I have directed all the Arab tribes to Abyssinia, to Syria, where they would come and they would make tawaf, or they would do their pilgrimage to the cathedral that I have built just for your sake. So he had this plan in mind, and this was no secret. The plan of trying to divert all the Arab tribes to come and do pilgrimage was no secret of his. He made that known very well. This angered many of the Arab tribes. Many of the Arab tribes became very angry when they heard about his intention of wanting to stop the pilgrimage to the Kaaba and now direct it towards his cathedral that he has built. And as a result of that, of course, you had one person from one of the Arab tribes. He left with the explicit intention of going to defile the cathedral that was built by Abraha. So he left with his intention. Part of the cathedral was burnt, and part of it was smeared with feces and all of that. When the news of this reached Abraha, he became very angry. And it was his intention to redirect people towards his cathedral. So he got the opportunity now. He got the opportunity now because of somebody trying to destroy his cathedral. He got the opportunity now to now focus on the Kaaba in Mecca to destroy it. So he made his plan that I am going to destroy the Kaaba in Mecca. So he drew up his army, very big army, well-fortified army. And he sat in the front of the army, a very huge elephant. There were other elephants also in the army, but the one in front was very, very huge. And the Arabs, many of them, never seeing an elephant before. Many of them were terrified by the mere sight of the elephant, the size of the animal and all of that. So Abraha is now on his way with the intention to destroy the Kaaba. Whatever tribes and all of that was in his way, he got rid of them. Very easily, they were no match to the army that was moving towards for the destruction of the Kaaba. Absolutely no match. And he's moving on his way. Whatever tribes or anything tried to stop him, he got rid of them. And of course, it's a big army that is moving. So as they are moving along, plundering, taking whatever supplies they need, animals, all of that were being taken as they are going on the way in order to feed the army and all of that. So they are moving on. On their way, a few of the tribes that came together in order to stop Abraha, and of course they were no match. The leader from one of these tribes was captured, a person by the name of Nufail. He was captured. And his life was ransomed in order to act as a guide to carry them to Mecca. So Nufail, who initially wanted to kill and fight with the armies of Abraha, was now given a chance. His life was spared with the condition that he would now act as a guide in taking them. So he had to save his life, so he was acting as a guide going along with them. On reaching Taif, the people of Taif, the leaders of Taif now came out. They came out to meet the army of Abraha in order to inform him that you have not reached Mecca as yet. Taif was one of those places that had one of the temples. There were three temples that were situated in Arabia for three of the so-called godlings, or daughters of the gods, Lat, Uzza, and Manat. Lat, Uzza, and Manat were three of the godlings, and they had temples in different parts. In Taif, the temple of Lat was situated. So the people of Taif came out to meet the army of Abraha to inform him, you have not reached Mecca as yet. This is not the temple you come to destroy. Before he mistake the temple of that they had in Taif and he destroys that as well, they came out and they met him and they said, look, this is not the place. The place that you have to go is this direction and whatever. And they gave him directions from Taif. So much so that from Taif they even offered to give him another guide. Even though Nufail was with them and he was acting as a guide, they proposed to give him another guide just so that he doesn't do any havoc and destruction in Taif. And they gave him another guide to lead him on from Taif until Mecca. This guide went on with the army, and when he reached a place called Mughamis, which is about 3 miles away from Mecca, he died. And he was buried there in Mughamis, and the people always stoned and pelted that grave. Till today, people still have the custom of going and pelt that grave that is in Mughamis, just 3 miles away from Mecca, because he was one of the persons who volunteered to act as a guide to bring Abraha and his army for the destruction of the Kaaba. Abraha and his army stopped at Mughamis. They camped there for a little while. Remember, they are 3 miles away from Mecca. They stopped there, and Abraha had sent a detachment of horsemen to go and scope out Mecca, reach to the outskirts of Mecca. On their way also, the Arab tribes were no match to them. Big group of horsemen going out, absolutely no match. So they went out. And in their going out and looking at the outskirts of Mecca and looking, they see, well, they hardly have anybody around here. There's nothing as a simple task, a run over. But on their way back, also looting and plundering and taking what they wanted, Abdul Muttalib had about 200 camels that were grazing on the outskirts of Makkah. They captured that as well, and they brought it back to their camp at Mughamis. So they took up 200 camels of Abdul Muttalib, the grandfather of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they brought it back. Abraha sent a messenger to Makkah to inform them that if they want no bloodshed, that his intention was not to fight. He did not come to fight anyone. His intention was just to break the Kaaba. That is all he came for. And there was no need for any bloodshed. There was no need for any bloodshed. So whoever is your leader, let him return and come to their camp in Mughamis, and there would be no bloodshed. But who was the leader of the Quraysh? The Quraysh had no specific leader, even though everybody used to look up at Abdul Muttalib at that time, but they really had no fixed leader. They were divided in little groups and all of that. But when the messenger came and he's asking, well, who is your leader? Everybody pointed them to Abdul Muttalib's house. So Abdul Muttalib, together with one of his sons, returned with the messenger, and they went back to the camp at Mughamis, where they went and to meet with Abraha. Abraha, only in seeing the grandfather of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Abdul Muttalib, only on seeing him, the awe that was created in him, the respect that was created, he immediately got up from his seat, his royal chair. He got up and he welcomed him, put him to sit next to him. This is not how the ruler of an army operates. You try to treat people in a way that you kind of bring them down. But because of the awe that was created in him when he saw the grandfather of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got up from his chair, went and met him and brought him to sit beside him. They sat down and they were speaking about the purpose of his coming and all of that, and that there is no need for any bloodshed. He only came for the purpose of breaking the Kaaba. There is no need for anybody to get hurt and all of that. And he asked him, via the person who was translating, he asked him, is there anything that you wish for? Is there anything that you want? Any request that you have? Abdul Muttalib said to him, yes, he said, there is one thing. 200 of my camels were taken up by your horsemen, and I would like to have it returned. Abraha became very disappointed. He says, a man of your status, who is basically like in control of the religion of the Quraysh and the Arabs around and the Kaaba and all that kind of thing, and you worrying about 200 camels? So Abraha became a bit disappointed, and you know, in speaking, Abdul Muttalib told him, he said, you see that 200 camels? That is mine. I responsible for that. You see the Kaaba? That have its own owner, and he responsible for that. He go see about that. He would defend that. Not me, he would defend. This 200 camels is mine. Return my 200 camels. Right? The owner of that house will defend that house. So Abraha said, no, he cannot defend it against me. So Abdul Muttalib tell him, we'll see. We'll see what will happen. So he got his 200 camels. He returned to Makkah. And he asked all the people residing nearby to retreat to the nearby hills, so that they do not get into the way of the army. Because they had a meeting. After meeting with Abraha, all the other tribes, they come together and all of that. They had a council of war. Right? They met together. What could we do? Here is an army coming to destroy the Kaaba. What could we do? And everybody, after they take account of their men and how much weaponry they have and all that kind of thing, they realize, watch me, this is a hopeless case. This is a hopeless case. We are no match for the army of Abraha. It doesn't make sense that we go and get ourselves killed for nothing. So they decided that we would now retreat to the hills of nearby Makkah, and everybody watching from there. Before the army reached, Abdul Muttalib, together with a few of his family members, they came down to the Kaaba, what they would call the sanctuary in those days. They came down to the sanctuary. He held on to the ring of the door of the Kaaba, and he prayed to Allah that, oh Allah, you are the Lord, protect us and protect your house. Against, and they said their prayer in whatever way they said their prayer and all of that, and then they returned to the hills in order to watch to see what was happening. On returning to the hills the next day, the army was drawn up. The army was drawn up. The whole army was drawn up. And the last part of the army to be brought up in front was the elephant. The elephant was brought up in front, the massive elephant that was brought up in front in order to lead the army on. And no matter how much order that was given to the elephant to advance, the elephant would not move. The elephant just refused to move, standing at the van of the army, and the elephant just refused to move. They started to beat the elephant. The elephant sat down. They put hooks, iron hooks, to grip the stomach, the belly of the elephant, to try to raise it up. The elephant would not get up. They started beating the elephant with iron rods on the head and on the back and all of that. Nothing happening. Elephant not moving. So they decided, let us try a plan. Let us turn the army around in another direction. The army was turned in the opposite direction and started moving. The elephant got up and started moving with them. This, my dear brothers, was one of the most important signs for them that we are treading in the wrong territory. We are treading in the wrong territory. And if at that time they had heeded that warning and turned away, then everything would have been okay with them. But suddenly it was too late. Suddenly it was too late. They heard a sound, and as far as their eyes could see, the whole sky darkened. As high as they could see, the whole sky darkened. And there were flocks of birds that were coming towards them, as far as they see, with this strange sound. Some reports said that these birds were flying like a bird that they call the swift, and the name speaks for itself, one of the fastest birds that there is. Approximately 3 to 10 inches in length, a bird resembling that of the hummingbird that we have, moving with tremendous speed. And these birds were coming towards them, each one of them armed with 3 pieces of baked clay that was the size of a peas or a lentil. Think about the size of a peas or a lentil. The Quran tells us about baked clay, but that size. But that is the size of the pebbles. One in each claw and one in their beak. 3 pebbles. They came down in swarms and they launched their pebbles on the army, one after the next, continuously. The speed that these pebbles were being launched at was so high, the velocity was so high, that it even pierced the coat of mail that the army was wearing on. The metal plates that they had on, it was so, the speed and the velocity was so much that it even pierced some of the coat of mail. Of course, that created havoc in the army. One is that the elephant had refused to go, so everybody was now running for their lives, already facing the opposite direction. A good bit of them were killed, and instantaneously, upon being hit by one of the pebble, person dies. Immediately the body started to decay. Now this sent the whole army in disarray, and they are now running away. Those who weren't dead were wounded. Some of them remained in Hijaz. The other and the rest of the army, they flew and they went back. On the way back, the army retreating and running on the way back, many of them died on the way. Abraha even returned to Yemen, but returning there, he also became very ill, and within a few days, he also died. And this is the story, my dear brothers and sisters, basically about Abraha and his army. His aim was to do what? To destroy the Kaaba. Nothing else, nobody else. His aim was to destroy the house of Allah. That was his intention, to divert everybody else towards his cathedral that he had built in the city of Sana'a. My dear brothers and sisters, that, from that day onwards, the Quraysh tribe was known, they were known as the people of God. Because it was with their prayer and their leadership that the house was saved. So they were known as the people of God. And they became very famous. And they were praised a lot. But not only because of that. but because also of another incident which happened on that year, the year 570 after AD, the year 570 after Isa alayhi salam. They were honored because of this second incident, even more until today the Quraysh are honored because of that. And that is the birth of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My dear brothers and sisters, when this incident took place with Abraha and his army coming to destroy the Kaaba, the father of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Abdullah, was not present in Makkah. He had gone to Palestine and to Syria in order to trade. So he was not present in Makkah at that time. After his trading incident, on his way back from Syria and Palestine, he had stopped by his grandmother's family that was situated in Yathrib in Medina. He had stopped there for a little while. When he stopped there, he became ill, and the caravan that he was traveling in had moved on, because you don't keep back the whole caravan because of one individual. So he remained by his family in Medina. He was not well, and the rest of the caravan returned. When the caravan returned to Makkah, and his father Abdul Muttalib was informed about his illness, he sent his son Harith in order to accompany his brother and bring him back to Makkah. Harith, in reaching Medina and greeting the people and all of that, and from the signs and everything that he was seeing, he understood that his brother had passed away. So he also returned back to Makkah, and bringing the news back to Makkah, there was grief all over Makkah to hear about the death of Abdullah, the father of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was grief all over Makkah, and of course more so for his wife Amina, who was pregnant. Because here it is, newlywed, young person, now married, right? And your husband left to go on trading. You are pregnant, you become pregnant, your husband left to go on trading, and you hear the news that your husband is dead. So the only solace and peace that she could have gotten was from the child that was in her womb. That was her only comfort. And as the time grew near and closer towards delivery, Amina was getting more and more satisfaction. Also, she was seeing signs that were that was telling her that this child that you have inside of you is not no regular child. She was getting visions. She was seeing certain lights that, as she explained, that one day a light that shone from inside of her so bright that she could have seen the castles that was in Bostra in Syria. She heard a voice telling her one day that the child that is in you is very blessed, and when he is born, that you should say that I seek protection from the one, from the evil of every envier that there is, and name him Muhammad. So she knew, and she was getting comfort in the fact that there is this child that is inside of her. When the child was born, she sent news to Abdul Muttalib, because she was in her uncle's house at the time. She sent news to Abdul Muttalib to come and see your grandson. Abdul Muttalib came, and he took hold of his grandson, and of course the very first time he took him down to the sanctuary, he took him down to the Kaaba, and he said a prayer of thanksgiving. He said a prayer of thanksgiving for Allah, who has blessed him with this grandson. And then on his way back, in taking back the child, he stopped by his own home in order to show them the child. And his youngest son at that time, who was Abbas radiallahu ta'ala an, was 3 years of age. His wife also was pregnant, because remember, he and Abdullah got married the same time, and he was about to have a son. His son, who was to be born from that marriage, also was Hamza, right? So his wife was also pregnant. He brought the child to Abbas radiallahu ta'ala and asked him to kiss your brother. Abbas radiallahu ta'ala and did in fact kiss the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that time. And the bond and the relationship between them developed, as we know later on. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is what transpired in the early age and in the early life up to the birth of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His father passing away, even before he was born, his father passing away. from next lecture, inshallah, we will deal with the suckling of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his being taken away by Halima into the desert in order to be nursed for a few years and all of that. We will deal with that story later on in the next series, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.